Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 1st June 2025 Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this Heart Sutta book, second edition. We are at page 129. Okay, as usual, we will have our physical puja. And let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall compose the, commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhan Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Amitabha. 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 Namo Puxian Pu Sa. Namo Puxian Pu Sa. Namo Puxian Pu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Tripa Jama Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Invocation to the Devas. in this universe in their entirety. Let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Itti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho viccācarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasārti sattā deva manusāna Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatam Veditano Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyam ketam Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. We shall then continue from where we stopped. Page 129, towards the end of lesson 23. The important notes. This is a recap of what we have discussed. We capture the essence, the essence, or the essential points. The first important note is the four important support needed to develop our pure awareness-based meditation. So this one is very important. In the sense that in order to develop this awareness-based meditation, which is basically to stabilize our inner pure awareness nature so that it can be heedful, ever mindful, to develop the cultivation. To do this, we have to go against all convention of thought-based meditation. That's why we should not be using thought to meditate or creating thought unnecessarily to make the mind heedless. That's why this four support, if you really understand, it is to reverse the heedless thinking. It is just to allow you to maintain the inner awareness. So the first support is relax. The main problem with living beings trying to develop the meditation is they are not relaxed. They put in a lot of unnecessary energy towards doing, towards meditating. Means that exertion of effort is actually creating thought, because they have the wrong understanding that to meditate, you must have a meditator, which is basically thought. And from there, they start. That's why this thought-based meditation comes to be. Where they always say, who meditate? I meditate. Who is the I? The I is the egoic mind, the thought, which is egoic. Before you are enlightened, this thought is egoic. But when you just relax your body and mind, you are not creating thought. You are just relaxing it, letting it settle down, be at ease. That's why relaxation is most important. And you have to do it very well. If you are relaxed most of the time, your mind is peaceful, quiet, tranquil. It will return to its original state before the stirring, before the arising of thought. Then you can come to realize the beautiful nature within, which is tranquility, stillness, pure awareness, silent, clarity. So first support is relax completely, body and mind. Then don't try to do or don't try to know. Just allow your mind to settle down and maintain awareness. Means stay with the awareness nature, just aware. Whatever arises within your six sense, aware. That's it. Because basically as a human being, we are a conscious being, capable of consciousness arising from the six sense basis. We can be aware of sense contact and our six sense basis. The first one is seeing. We are capable of arising that consciousness to see, the seeing consciousness, the hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile and thought process. So upon contact of mind with any of the sense bases, it will trigger the corresponding sense or consciousness. And these are nature's law that manifest naturally. Like the physics experiment where we use a light bulb, a battery, and a switch. When you on it and all those things are in functional condition, then the light bulb lights up. The lighting up of the light bulb is like it makes us conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So upon contact, when the consciousness arises, you maintain the awareness to become aware of that pure consciousness. Don't go and perceive, create more thinking, sankara activity, or go and stir the mind or create the reaction of mind to what you perceive. That is heedless living, thought-based activity arising again. So the second support is to maintain awareness. Relax, then just aware, whatever arise, aware, finish, or aware, silent, no more thinking. Then continue to stabilize this inner awareness. That's why the third support in the notes I put there as 24 hour. Technically is throughout the day, every moment, every instant, maintain awareness until it's stabilized. Then when you can do that, until you are already very stable in that cultivation of inner awareness, then you naturally can do the fourth support. The fourth support is just relying on trust. Trust the inner nature to develop the meditative movement. When you are silent, completely aware and relaxed, the awareness nature is very sensitive. It can pick up a lot of things. It can let you understand many things. It can see things as they are. It can awaken to phenomena. It can insight into the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then all phenomena that arise and pass away following the paticca samuppada or the dwelling, the law of dependent origination, can be understood. Then we will come to know how we function as a human being. Who are we? What are we? What is the five aggregates of form and mind all about? Then when all this has been understood, then wisdom will arise. And when wisdom arises, it will stabilize your inner awareness further. Because when wisdom arises, it becomes yoniso manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. And when you have the wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you are not deluded. That's why it will spontaneously prompt you with the Dhamma understanding. And you will not stir your mind. You will not react to sense experience. You will not create unnecessary heedless thinking. That's how you actually develop the progress. Then you will have more and more stability of mind. The mind become like collected, unwavering. Means in the state of collectedness and is unwavering. Means you have samadhi. Samadhi means a free mind in the state of collectedness and unwavering. Then when you can do that, you will have more and more moments of silence within, more and more moments of space between thought, which means you have hardly any thought during the day or throughout the day. The thought only arise when you need to use them. That's why in the Noble Eightfold Path, it is thought, right view leading to right thought. So when you meditate and develop all this wisdom, you will straighten your view. That's why right view is very important. Right view can condition right thought. And when there is right thought, then you can use thought, because it means the form and mind that has the wisdom is wise. That's why the user of thought, if he is wise, he has wisdom, or he has developed the yoniso manasikara, then thought become wholesome, beautiful. Then you can follow the Noble Eightfold Path to arise the appropriate right thought that will condition the right speech, right action, and right way to live your life. Then, naturally, the four right efforts will unfold. You will know how to cultivate them. Then after that, your mindfulness leading to its stability to become samadhi will stabilize too. And when these two stabilize, you are in the meditative state all the time. Where the samadhi path factor is actually sati and samadhi. So when these two are stable, then you can see things as they are to arise the wisdom, to awaken to phenomena, to develop the clear understanding, to see things as they are clearly, to develop the wisdom. So the fourth support can arise after that. When you are doing the fourth support, your mind will naturally stay at the heart area. You can actually develop the stability of awareness. Then when it's so stable, it doesn't move, then you stay at your heart area. Even if you have earlier on use any skillful means like methods or technique to anchor your mind or chanting, you can relinquish all those, then allow the awareness nature to develop its presence at the heart area. Then don't do anything. Trust that nature to move. With no thought involved, then it will move and it will develop the movement. So this understanding is very important, that you will start to activate many of your heart area so that the meditative movement can continue to move. And most of the time it will start to activate slowly, one place at a time. Then you can detect any vibration like your heartbeat or any pulse, like pulse of life or whatever vibration that you can detect. You just silence everything and stay there. Develop the inner awareness of it. Means let the awareness and the phenomena move as one. Initially, if you can detect your heartbeat, it's like very loud, very prominent, very cross. Never mind. It's like pounding. Pupa, pupa, pupa. Never mind. Just aware of it. And let it stabilize. Let it settle down. Don't try to change it or do anything to it. Just be with it, silent, completely aware. As you develop the stability of awareness, you will come to realize all this pulsation, your heartbeat, or whatever vibration that you detect, they will become more and more refined, more and more refined, more and more quiet, more and more quiet, and more still, until finally, like you cannot detect them. It's like it is so subtle, like you have no breathing or no pulsation, like your heartbeat has completely stopped. But at that time, usually it hasn't, because it means you have progressed, you have more refined vibration within, but you can no longer detect it because your sati at that time is not refined enough. It has not developed the refinement for you to detect it. So if you patiently continue to silence your mind and allow the stable, free mind to be there. Then what happens is, finally, your mind will enter sati. Enter sati means your mind is in the state of sati. Your mind and the pure awareness nature has become one. There is no separate movement anymore. Then during that time, you will become very calm, very peaceful, very tranquil. Then you will be able to detect all the very fine movement or vibration. At that time, when you locate your mind at any point within your physical, you can detect them, all the movement, even in your brain and other part of your body. Then you go to your breath, it also become very clear. Then everything like magnified. Then it's like your awareness become very natural. Here the mind has entered sati. Then everything you do is in sati. So you can do that. When you come out of the meditation, you become very different. You will become like very beautiful in the sense that you realize for the first time in your life, mindfulness is there all the time. You are naturally aware of all the activity and movement within your kaya. Then every moment of seeing also is in the pure awareness. Every moment of hearing also in sati, pure awareness. Smell also same, taste also same, tactile and arising of thought. It's like slow motion. You can see it clearly, vividly, the movement, activity. Yeah. During that time, most of the time, you are just aware with specific phenomena awareness. The awareness and the phenomena move as one. It can be physical phenomena, mental phenomena, or nature's phenomena. Then after that, you continue to relax, maintain awareness. Your daily mindfulness will stabilize. Yeah. But if you are in the formal meditation, then don't do anything. Silence everything and stay at the heart. And let this pure awareness nature detect the gateway to your nature. The gateway to your nature can arise. That's what the fourth support is. The fourth support is trust. Trust that nature to do. Wherever it wants to move, let it move. Then when you detect the gateway to your nature, a lot of things will happen. It is the most beautiful things to happen for a cultivator. But during that time, when the gateway to your nature is detected, all of your external yin-yang energy, they will melt inside and become pure energy. And it will be very soothing, very beautiful. And you will experience it moving in, transforming your inner nature. That's how the fourth support, trust, manifests. And that one you don't do until you have stabilized your pure awareness. Okay, we go back to the notes. So I have covered the four important support needed to develop pure awareness-based meditation. To stabilize your inner awareness, sati within. Because for sati is life. Sati leading to heedfulness or apamada is very important. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 is very clear on the importance of heedfulness. Then second part, this one also very important. This one also very few people understand. When the heart area cannot open up, it is very difficult to progress along the path of Dhamma. Open up means that heart area get itself activated. Activated in the sense that the awareness is there to actually make it sensitive, to activate it. Then we use the word open in inverted comma. It's like the nadis and the chakra, it needs to be activated first, like slowly activated and open up. I remember in the early days, most people don't have that ability. Their heart, they are not sensitive at all. They don't know what the area meant. They can't even detect any vibration or whatever, unless they use a stethoscope, like the doctor. Then, or they feel it with their hand or something, a pillow against it or what, then they can sense the pounding and all the things. But that one is assisted. So that pounding is a natural, what they call life force activity, that actually happen to all living beings. But when we meditate, that's why we are taught to pay respect. We always hold our two palms together in the form of, we call it Anjali. Yeah? Anjali means clasp our two palms together, our hands together, and we pay respect. When you do that, you realize there is a tide of energy from your heart moving from your palm into your heart. And that is the one that will slowly activate. Then when you are mindful and aware, there is also an awareness within. We call that inner awareness. That's why from inside you're aware of outside. Yeah. So if you develop awareness-based meditation and pay respect more and more, or develop the what they call puja more and more, then every time you rejoice, the heart area will be activated. Then every time you develop the sadha, the virya, your heart area will be activated. Then when there is sati, that area will be activated. But initially it's very slow, very slow, very slow. That's why I go back to the notes, then you will start to understand. Number two, when the heart area cannot open up, it's very difficult to progress along the path of Dhamma. So the bowing and the reverential salutation with the faith to develop the sadha, virya, and sati, spiritual faculty, to open up your heart area is very important, so that you can make it sensitive to receive the spiritual energy needed to connect to our nature within is very important. So these so-called spiritual faculties are mind state that can enable us to understand spiritual teachings, to receive spiritual energy or activation. That's why when you open it up, it becomes sensitive and you can sense a lot of spiritual energy or activity, or cultivators' energy. You can sense them. You can detect them. Then it will help you to actually develop the more refined movement and progress. That's why the heart area is very important. So initially, I remember in the early years, from my development of the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, leading to samadhi, I bow a lot. I pay respect a lot. Then I develop the silent meditative training a lot. Initially, I started with anapanasati, I remember. Then that one somehow brings the awareness from the breathing in and breathing out down to my heart area and activate the heart area. Then the heart area starts to become sensitive. Then I realize after a few months or what, the heart area starts to become sensitive. Then I can detect my guide and teacher's energy. Then I can know whether there is people cultivating around, then whether there is great beings energy around, their nature's energy, because the area has become sensitive. So initially, this is very important for beginners to develop the understanding and the faith. So initially, don't worry about progress. Make your nature sensitive first. Cultivate sati, mindfulness. Then develop sada and virya until they become very stable, until they become balas, yeah, or powers. Then when your sati stabilizes until it becomes samadhi, means your pure awareness based training has stabilized. Then your heart area become very sensitive, become very different. Then when you do your fourth support, it's very easy. Very fast you will progress. So I read note number 2 again. When the heart area cannot open up, it's very difficult to progress along the path of Dhamma. That's why you must develop the faith, sadha, virya, and the constant bowing and salutation, reverential salutation, and the daily mindfulness, and the awareness-based meditation, to develop your stability of spiritual faculties within. Means to develop the sadha, virya, and sati, spiritual faculty, leading to samadhi and wisdom, so that it will help you open up the heart area to make it sensitive to receive spiritual energy needed to connect to your nature within. And this is a very important understanding. Then number 3, third important point. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain the inner awareness, stabilize it to develop the silent mind. The silent mind means relax, maintain awareness, and silence your mind to develop the heedfulness, which is ever mindful, constantly meditative. Then you will progress along the path of Dhamma naturally, following Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. So Dhammapada verse 21, I read to you. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, where heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful do not die, the heedless are as if dead. Then the Buddha continued. He said, all conditioned things are impermanent, non-self and empty, means it's anatta nature. Therefore, strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sampadena, as advised by the Buddha, and do not be heedless. For without sati or mindfulness, you cannot be heedful. For sati is life. So this one is a very important understanding. So heedfulness is most important. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. And you stay with these two practices, means the steadfast one. You will realize the supreme enlightenment, which is Nibbana, in the here and the now. So that is Dhammapada verse 23. Yeah. They guarantee you enlightenment in the here and the now. Okay, we move on. Yeah. We move on to the next lesson. Lesson 24, Heart Sutta class. So this one was at that time dated 212, about 13 over years ago. 12 to 13 years ago. Lesson 24, part 1. The true purpose of meditation, That's why when we meditate with understanding, we become different. So ability to meditate with understanding is very important. What is the true purpose and intent of developing the meditation as taught by the Buddha? So as we all know, most people will understand, but most people cannot connect it to the true intent and purpose. But as we all know, human beings are very varied or very different in character, in their desire, in their ideal in life. So some people, they get attracted to meditation because of different reasons. A lot of people is out of curiosity. Then they heard a lot of fantasy about meditation. They wanted to develop their special ability, like you can perform magic, psychic, you can levitate, you can read mind, you can travel, and you can manifest and do a lot of very strange things. But that is not the purpose and intent of meditation. Well, that one cannot liberate your mind, cannot free you. So the main purpose and intent of meditation is to train your mind to develop the wisdom to liberate your mind. That is more important. That's why as Buddhists, normally we are told, if you cultivate the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, it will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. Enlightenment means to be free from all suffering. No more ignorance, no more delusion, no more wrong view, no more sakkayadity. To be deceived by the phenomenal world. So all this are very important understanding that cultivator of the way must develop before you really move into meditation. Otherwise, it can be very detrimental to the cultivator. But when you understand the true intent and purpose, then you are safe. You won't get lost. You won't deviate. You won't get into unnecessary entanglement and trouble. That's why here I summarize it. I say the true purpose and intent of meditation is to develop the wisdom to liberate the mind so that one is no longer deluded by our five aggregates of form and mind that condition one to grasp and cling onto the so-called egoic mind as the I and the me. So the five aggregates of form and mind, which most people take as the human being, they believe is a permanent, unchanging entity. They believe that is what they are. That's why that is sakkayadity. So you cannot develop the wisdom to liberate the mind so that you are no longer deluded by your five aggregates of form and mind, thinking that it is you, then you can go beyond. Otherwise, it will condition you to grasp and cling onto it as the I and the me and the mind, to condition one's suffering. So understanding this true intent and purpose of meditation is very important. Because meditation is not about developing only the inner calmness, inner peacefulness, and inner tranquility of mind alone. Wisdom is more important than peace. One only needs to understand why one's mind is not peaceful. The main reason being, the five mental hindrances are there. And they are there because you lack the five opposite spiritual faculty needed to overcome them. When the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance will cease to be. So this understanding is very important. Then when there is no more mental hindrance or craving, the mind will be naturally peaceful and calm, where it can accept the reality of the moment via wisdom. Wisdom allow one to see things as they are via the unwavering mind in upeka or equanimity, mind that does not stir anymore. Mind is free, liberated, and no longer deluded. So this understanding is very important. Then meditation via focusing, noting, are mostly thought-based meditation. Whereas the one via the silent mind, the pure awareness or sati before the knowing, without thought, to awaken to phenomena is mindfulness or sati-based or awareness-based meditation. Only through wisdom is the mind free. That's why I always use this phrase, only wisdom free, nothing else. Not all the fantastic meditation or supernatural phenomena. This wisdom cannot be learned, but only arise through awakening via the direct seeing, with the true mind without thought, or the silent mind without thought. Attachment to Dhamma is knowledge. Or attachment to Dhamma as knowledge can also be a form of delusion. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is an understanding. There is nothing for us to know. We are all knowing is via the thought as knowledge. Whereas wisdom is an awakening, a realization which is beyond thought, and it is not rigid. That's why the silent mind in pure awareness that can see things as they are, that one is not a thought. That is the direct seeing. Seeing things as they are. So that silent inner awareness that can see things as they are is your true mind, your meditative mind, your silent inner awareness that is most important. That mind is different, is heedful. Most of the time aware, constantly meditative, ever mindful. That's why it's heedful. Okay, with that we move on to the next part. Part 2. This one is referring to the commentaries by Master Xuan Hua, the Heart Sutta book. So within that Heart Sutta book, which is page 62 to 71, we have a section that share on the five aggregates as taught by Master Xuan Hua. The first aggregate of mind, which is feeling, is the same, Vedana, translated as feeling. But the second one, instead of perception, Sanya, they translate as cognition, which is also quite a good word. To perceive is to cognize. Then the third aggregate is Sankara, mental formation. But the word alone does not define the whole of Sankara. In fact, Sankara is a lot more. All of your mind states, they are also Sankara. Your mental intention, everything that your mind can do, the cunningness, your planning, the scheming, everything is Sankara. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, they are all part of Sankara. Then consciousness is of course very easy to understand. We can become conscious. Where we are conscious being, we have the sense basis. we can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactily feel and think. So ability to become conscious is a very important aspect of our human nature as a human being. So consciousness is a manifestation through our sense basis, but we must have a mind. Then we must have sense data, and together with the sense contact, it will trigger off the respective sense door consciousness. That's how we study the five aggregates of form and mind and the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada. That's why without sati, you cannot understand all this teaching. Okay, next part, 2.1. The Heart Sutta mentioned the formless Dhamma. So too are feelings, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all Dhamma are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor decrease. So this section covers the more subtle formless Dhamma acting at the mind level. So this one is when Kuan Yin Bodhisattva was cultivating the Prajnaparamita Sutta. He illuminated on the five skandhas and realized that they are all empty. And he continued with the understanding, and he explained to Sariputta. He said, Sariputta, all Dhamma are empty of characteristics. So this one is referring to the ultimate teaching, the unconditioned Dhamma teaching. So if you look at the English translation of the Heart Sutta, then you can understand better. Maybe I read to you that part. So the Heart of Prajnaparamita Sutta. So this one is the English translation of the Heart Sutta. So the opening statement is, Guan Zi Sai Pusa, when Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was cultivating the profound Prajnaparamita, he illuminated the five skandhas, or aggregates of five form and mind, and saw that they are all empty, and he crossed beyond suffering and difficulties. So this part is very important. When he was cultivating the profound Prajnaparamita, she actually used her nature, your pure awareness nature, to illuminate the five skandhas and realize that they are all empty, not real. Then he continued. He told Sariputta. He said, Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. That one we have gone through. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Means the other mind aggregates is the same, not only the physical form or external mental form, that they are all similarly empty, not what you think. Means it has the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Then he told Sariputta, Sariputta, all Dhamma are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in true emptiness, this word which I have bold, means in the unconditioned Dhamma understanding, therefore in true emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no cognition or sanya, no formation or sankhara, activity and consciousness. Even the sense basis, no eye, no ear, no nose, tongue, body and mind. Then the sense data, no sight, sound, smell, taste, object of touch, or dhamma. Then no feel of the eye means seeing consciousness, up to and including no mind, no feel of mind consciousness, and no ignorant or ending of ignorant, up to including no old age, sickness and death, or ending of old age, sickness and death. There is no suffering, no accumulation or cause arising of suffering, no cessation or extinction, no way and no understanding and no attaining. Way means the Noble Eightfold Path, the path that leads to the end of all suffering. That's why within true emptiness, all the condition, the Ma reality, doesn't exist. Like the eight sign of the first Noble Truth of suffering or dukkha, they don't exist within the unconditioned Dhamma. Then similarly, even the Noble Eightfold Path, the Four Noble Truth, they don't exist. As I in true emptiness, the sense basis, everything, they don't exist. Then when we talk about Dhamma, ignorant, enlightenment, they also don't exist. That's why he said, no wisdom, no attaining, no understanding. All this become very clear. And there is no contradiction. It is exactly as it is. That's why you must understand the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world. It has its own sets of reality and Dhamma. Whereas within the unconditioned Dhamma, when you realize true emptiness, you go beyond, then all this does not exist. Because the unconditioned Dhamma is the pure awareness nature. There is no thought, no words, no concept, no idea. Where go all this? All these are creation by the mundane mind. That's why it has its own reality. That's why duality pertains to the conditioned world. Dhamma pertains to the conditioned world. The reality of life and existence pertains to the conditioned world. That's why in the Diamond Sutta is mentioned, everything is conditioned Dhamma. Each year you waver. Means within our conditioned world, everything arises and passes away. We are conditioned Dhamma. So, because it's a conditioned world, existential world, that's why within this world, you need causes and conditions for anything to manifest. That's why each year you waver, the meaning is very deep, very profound. Whatever that arises within the conditioned world, they are all conditioned arising Dhamma. Without causes and conditions, they cannot arise. Without causes and conditions, they cannot be what they are. They cannot manifest. That's why, because it's a conditioned world, with all the conditioned Dhamma, the nature's law that governs life and existence, all already set as the boundary condition. That's why our conditioned world manifests this way, become what it is, following the law that governs life and existence. So now we go back to the notes. I just finish off this part of the Heart Sutta. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, means wisdom paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid. And he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. Ultimately, Nibbana, then all the Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Sanyat Sambohi through reliance on Prajna Paramita, means the perfection of wisdom. Paramita. Therefore, know that this Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering, is genuine and not false. That is the reason why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate para gate para sam gate bohi soha. So after that is the Mandarin version. Those who know Mandarin, you can read them. So these are beautiful. The Mandarin version, bring it down a bit. Okay. So, Guan Zi Zai Pu Sa, Xing Shen Polo Mi, Do Si, Zao Jian Wu Yun, Jie Kong, Duo, Yi Qie, Ku'er, then Se Li Zi, the same. Se Bu Yi Kong, Kong Bu Yi Se, Se Ji Si Kong, Kong Ji Si Se. So all this continue. Shou Xiang Xing Si is the same for all this. So those who know Mandarin, the meaning is deeper, easier to comprehend. And the Mandarin words, they are more suited towards the Dhamma understanding. Okay, now we go back to the place we took off just now, page 130, I think. So we have finished 2.1. Now we come to 2.2. So this one is on the definition to explain the word Xuan Hua used in his commentary. Definition. True understanding on page 63 imply wisdom. Defeat them imply no longer deluded by them. Feeling of happiness imply pleasant feeling. Feeling of unhappiness or suffering imply unpleasant feeling. Feeling which are characterized by neither suffering nor happiness imply neutral feeling or indifference. Then there is a part that is mentioned. In the pure and deep ultimate silence, all creation are transcendent. This sentence is very powerful. You have realized your pure awareness, nature. You have detected your gateway and went in and realized what that pure nature within is. You will be able to comprehend this sentence. In the pure and deep ultimate silence, because that nature is without word, without concept, without ideology, without views, opinion, or it has nothing. That's why it's tranquil, ultimate silence. So in the pure and deep ultimate silence and tranquility, all creation are transcendent. Means the mundane mind that create all this creation within the conditioned world are transcended. This one means a sudden awakening to the original perfect fusion of self and Dhamma. So people who has gone through that realization, they will understand. Where it's like you suddenly awaken to the original perfect fusion of that Sakkaya Ditti, the self and the Dhamma. Well, these two are within the conditioned world. So when that one fuses, it ceases to be. That's everything within the conditioned world. All creation are transcended. Then that sudden awakening arises. It manifests because of the original perfect fusion of this condition number. Then I add in an explanation. When the mind realizes itself, all the above can happen. Means the mind, there are two minds, the mundane mind and the true mind. So when the mundane mind realizes itself, it will cease. Then the realization of Nibbana can trigger the unconditioned understanding. That's why the wisdom that arises from that, it becomes very different. Yeah. So when the mind realizes itself, all this that Xuanhua mentioned or tried to share can be understood. Okay, part three. Listening from my heart during the Dhamma sharing. This part very beautiful, very important. Question 1. When I listen from my heart during the Dhamma sharing, I feel very peaceful and happy. There is clarity. But this state does not last. Why is it that I feel this way? Yeah. So most cultivators initially they don't understand. They want to grasp onto all these beautiful mind states. Yeah. So I will explain. Under that section, Brother Teo. So I explain, I said, this could be due to your past cultivation that enable you to have this ability to listen from your heart. But it's not easy. Most people take a while until you have developed the cultivation quite a while, until you have stabilized your mind-based area or heart area. Then you have developed some form of initial wisdom. Not until one has done that. Normally it's not easy to listen from the heart. So I read again. This could be due to your past cultivation. This Kayamita has a glimpse of it. Then he wants it continue as a permanent feature, but it can't. So I say, this could be due to your past cultivation that enables you to have this ability to listen from your heart. And it looks like conditions are now ready for you to connect back to your past cultivation. Then I predict that, I say, you will progress very fast from now onward. Because when you know how to listen from your heart with your full pure awareness there, then the brain, which is up here at the forehead, will not condition you to think, comment, judge, or react so strongly as before, when your attention is most of the time at your forehead while listening. Since thoughts are response to memory, so by listening from the heart, there will be much less thought. But initially, it will be like the listening is in bits and pieces and not really connected to the memories. I remember this thing happening initially. But don't worry, it is normal. And you should continue to listen from your heart until it becomes normal or natural for you to do it. Actually, that is the way, the correct way to listen. Listening with your full attention or consciousness, awareness, without the interference of thought, means you listen, the pure listening, is a sign of good progress. Also understand that like all phenomena is impermanent. So do not expect this same experience to be repeated all the time. This is especially so during the daily life. During your daily life, when you are not in a conducive place to listen to the true Dhamma, then your habitual tendency of listening from your forehead, the brain, will start to happen again. Sometimes the hindrance of mind can still come in to disturb your mind states. So do not react or stir your mind via delusion. Just let things be and let it settle back to its original, unnatural state or original state of stillness and inner peace as we move it up. Yeah. Then you will always be happy and at peace. Have the wisdom to see things as they are and understand all this clearly. Then one day you will come to understand that as long as the true mind within does not stir, this one is very important, as your true mind, the pure awareness nature, the silent mind inside within does not stir and create thought via one's own delusion to think or react, then the mind will always be peaceful. That's why you ask yourself, why are you not peaceful? The one thing to react or to be calm and peaceful via the thought is also an illusion or delusion. The one thing will create the stirring of the mind, because this mind via the thought will try to control and suppress its negative emotion or lack of peace, thinking that it is bad. We are not understanding that the controller is the control. When the mind is in sati, there is no thought, there is thought ceases. So just relax and silence the mind to be with the moment in silent inner awareness, and do not try to do anything, because the doing is always by the thought that will cause the stirring of the mind again. So the thought, which is the controller, tries to control a thought, thus explaining why J. Krishnamurti say the controller is the control, because both are thought actually, but they cannot see it. So they thought the person, the five aggregate of form and mind who wants to control their emotion, is an independent entity. No, it's the same entity. Both are thought based. That's why you cannot free and liberate. When one understands that the natural state of mind before the stirring is stillness without thought, then meditation becomes very simple, just like the case of swimming. Take for example, swimming. If we understand that the natural state of our body is already buoyant, because it's lighter than water, then why do you need to learn how to float or struggle to float? Just let go and don't do anything, and trust that your natural state of your body is buoyant, then your body will just float. We are not doing anything. But instead, most people struggle in the water trying to keep afloat, and in the process sink and drink water because of their fear and lack of understanding or delusion. So similarly in meditation, if we understand that the natural state of mind is already the meditative state of silent inner awareness without thought, then we just let things be and don't do anything, and the mind will settle down to its natural state of peace, tranquility and stillness on its own, just like the swimming analogy. Once you realize that you can float without doing anything or holding on to any float, then swimming becomes very simple and easy, because you just move to swim without having to worry about learning how to float anymore. The float is just like your object of meditation, which is just a skillful means to help you to train your mind to be heedful, or in the case of a float, to assist you to float. So now you start to see and understand that as long as you are dependent on the float to swim, then you will never understand what the real swimming is without the float. So in a similar manner, as long as you are still holding on to an object of meditation or a mantra or noting something, then you will not understand what the actual meditative mind is. So now you understand why finally one still need to drop the use of any object of meditation or skillful means, means the method and technique to anchor the mind, used to train the mind and anchor the mind. Just like swimming, why must you learn how to float when your natural state of your body is already buoyant, which is a fact, which you can't understand initially because initially due to your delusion. Understanding that your natural state of mind is already the meditative state, which is without thought, in pure awareness, in perfect pure awareness and stillness, then meditation becomes very simple and very straightforward, and you will know how to meditate without delusion anymore. To me, after several years of serious meditative investigation, I have come to realize one very important truth or understanding with regards to meditation. That is, we need to understand what meditation is instead of clinging to method techniques, to meditation techniques, method and teachers, because the technique or methods of meditation, which are just a series of instructions to do things, never defines the meditation. Maybe it can act as an initial aid, like a float, to assist us initially to learn how to swim and float. But to really know how to swim, you must let go of the float and believe that the body can float and reach a natural state of buoyancy, of balance or buoyancy, if you don't try to do anything. That is, let go completely and you will float. Then swimming becomes very natural and easy. Our mind is more or less the same. That is, its natural state is already the meditative state in stillness. So just stay silent, mentally silent, and don't try to do anything. Don't even try to use the mind, which is the thought, to meditate, to disrupt the natural state, to disrupt the natural state, because the thinking mind, which is egoic and thought-based, cannot meditate to realize the Dhamma, or truth, which is akaliko, timeless, and beyond thought. Because of ignorance, not knowing what truth is, the thinking mind is conditioned via its own wrong view and habitual tendencies to constantly arise the mental activity or heedless thinking, sankhara, leading to the arising of the respective mental consciousness, vijnana, that support the arising of the five mental aggregates of form and mind, namarupa. Hence, triggering of the whole chain of dependent origination or paticca samuppada, leading to dukkha, finally. When you understand what meditation is, then you will naturally know how to meditate at any place, any time, and under any circumstances. And you will not be constrained or deluded by your attachment to methods, technique, and teachers. Basing on the analogy of the handful of leaf by the Buddha, it is pretty obvious that the Noble Eightfold Path is a meditation. Where, according to the Buddha, there is this fourth noble truth that clearly states that the path leading to the cessation of dukkha or realization of nirvana is the Noble Eightfold Path. So just silence your mind and be heedful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. We are the seven stages of purification and the three turnings of the four noble truth as taught by the Buddha. Hope the above explanation will clear all your doubt and enable you to meditate correctly with the right understanding. Okay, we stop here. For something really. 3.2. Okay, page 134. So we have explained enough about the four support. You just use it, apply it. Try to stabilize your understanding and apply it. With confidence, with understanding. You just relax into every mind state that arises. Whatever form and mind, means your body and mind. Just relax and feel it soothingly relax at peace. Then maintain silence within. Silence is awareness without the thought. Whatever arises, aware, finish, stabilize it. Then for those who have developed the stability of pure awareness, you can do the fourth support, which is trust. Okay, now I will set the alarm for 45 minutes. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now we will revert back to second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Then the sharing of today's topic or any other Dhamma in daily life. Example that you want to share, you can.
Good afternoon, brother.
Yeah.
Brother, I want to report my meditation sharing and also have a question. When we in the Cameron Highlands, I can feel all my fingers are sitting and my heart is sitting.
Yes.
At home, when I do meditation at home now, I cannot feel my heartbeat anymore.
Oh, okay. So what is your question?
My question is actually just now when we speak about regarding the bowing.
Yes.
Do we need to do the 10,000 bowing?
Oh, that one is up to you. The 10,000 bow, you know how to do it mindfully over maximum 3 months. It will help you because that will anchor your mindfulness to your bodily activity and movement. So if you were to do it over 3 months, means it average about 300 over bow a day. Yeah? We are 90 days times 300 is 300 times 10 is 3000. It is 300 over, which is about 9 to 10,000. Because I think it's about 300 plus, 330 bow per day. So if you do it over 2 sessions, then it's quite fast actually, 100 plus. But last time I did it over less than 2 months, I finished it. Because as you bow, initially maybe it's not so smooth sailing, but after about a week, you get used to the rhythm, then you can do it. Then when you do the bowing, I remember initially your knee there, because you on your knee you will do the prostration. The knee will develop some form of like when you kneel too long, it develop a muck there. So initially, it may develop into some not really uncomfortable in the sense that it is like when you do it very often, the knee there will have some form of like the skin there become like more and more adapt to the bowing. And then there is like a mark there. Which is a good sign. But more important is when you bow, you just recite Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo, then you bow mindfully. Then after that, come out mindful, then bow again, recite Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo. or in English, homage to thee, my original teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha. Yeah. Is either English or Mandarin, is up to you, yeah, whichever more conducive and suitable. Then when you just bow, don't try to know. You bow until body and mind become one. Then your sati will build up. Then all of a sudden, I remember as I bow, over, I think, 2 weeks, suddenly I realize my body and mind move as one without thought. Then every bowing is like very mindful. They're very natural, very easy to develop it. Then normally you can forget about the counting, because when you just bow at a certain rate, you set an alarm. Maybe you put there 3 minutes, 3 minutes. Then you do the bowing. After you bow, that time starting initially, I remember I count during that 3 minutes. I count. Then I know roughly average within 1 minute I can do how many bow. Then I multiply it to reach the number that I wanted. So that time I remember 1 month I targeted 5,000 bow. So it's about 10,000 divided by 60 is how much?
About 60 is 166.
Huh? So little?
Yes.
That is 1,000 bow only, isn't it? Wait, 10,000 should be more than that, I think.
10,000.
Yeah. I just check again so that I don't get it wrong. 10,000 divided by 60. Oh yeah, 167. Oh, that means just now I told you the wrong one. 300 over bow per day.
It was 1 month.
No, I did it over 2 months. Means 100 plus. Yeah, which is not really strenuous. 100 plus, you sometimes can break into two sessions, about do 100 a session. Then what I normally do is I do in the morning. I do in the morning. So I do about, I remember, must be around 180 to 200 a day. I finish it in before the 60 days. Then after that, my daily mindfulness came. Then I realized everything I do is in sati. That one really helped me. Then together with my that Acharyantra's that teacher's advice, I developed the daily mindfulness also, because after I bow, I maintain mindfulness according to what he advised. We choose aware every moment, every instant in the present moment. Means whatever I do, my mindfulness is there, I anchor it. That one I remember after I start doing that, within 2 weeks the daily mindfulness came. Then after that my bowing all become very like easy, very easy, very synchronized. Then I realized after that daily mindfulness is like very natural to me. Then my mind hardly any thought throughout the day. That's why after that I progress very fast. The daily mindfulness, once it come, you will see a lot of things, you will understand a lot of things. Then I remember at that time, because I already know how to meditate, I already know how to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, inner tranquility and stillness. But then when I develop the daily mindfulness, my sitting become very easy. The moment I go back and sit, immediately I enter into stillness, tranquility. I don't need to do anything. The mind just really settle down. And even if I, on a later part, after I stabilize everything already, then For a long period, I didn't do any more bowing because I finished the 10,000 bow within the 2 months. Then I just maintain my daily mindfulness. Then I remember after 1989, I decided to come out to the private sector to test myself. Then when I make that decision, I changed my career job from a comfortable, super skilled government job, surgery body, into the private sector. So that time I remember I need to spend more time learning the new thing because I work for a big consulting firm. And the project I was involved in was very high level projects. So because of that, I need to actually work on the mundane activity more. I have to study the project file, contract, and a lot of things. Then because I was very experienced, so I was able to cope with that. Then normally after a day's activity at the office and the meeting, everything, private sector, I come back. Normally during that time, your mind cannot be like last time when I was having a comfortable, very stable, you know, government sector, a lot less duty and responsibility. Then I standardize a lot of things that I can do a lot of things very easily. But in the private sector, especially the first few months, I realize my mundane activity demands my mundane mind from doing a lot of things during the working day. Then normally when I go back after office, I realize the sankhara in the forehead there, it starts to move again, there are movement. But then that time I already know how to meditate, I already know what this thing is. So I just silent and sit. Then I realized within 3 to 5 minutes, my mind settled down very fast. The sankhara all slowed down, finally still. Yeah. Then later on, as I continue, then not long after that, I remember my mundane mind collapsed. After my mundane mind collapsed, I no more of those problems with sankhara moving on my head, no more. Where that thing all completely drop off already. Yeah. So during that time, I remember sati is like very natural because my mind, the inner awareness nature, already shine forth. Because without the mundane mind to cloud the thing, I am naturally aware throughout the day. Yeah. Since that time until now. So which means, I think later part of 89, later part of 89, 90, 35 to 36 years already. Yeah. So the mind completely still. So for your case, you want to do the bowing, you can. But determine to be mindful throughout the day is more important. Then develop your religious routine. You know why when you come back, you cannot develop the sensation of your hand, leg, finger, or the tingling sensation, because your sati is not stable and you don't have the what is the word to use, the benefits of the great being's energy and our collective nature's energy and my nature's energy there to help you. And you are no longer in a retreat condition where you can, like, most of the time, full-time doing it. That's why when you are at the retreat, it's different, it's easier. But don't worry, all this will come back to you, and provided you continue with my advice. After you return to your daily life, that's why towards the second last day, I actually did a sharing in the morning on how to allow you all to develop the continuity of cultivation when you are back to your normal daily life. The key is to have a good religious routine, a mindfulness good religious routine. Means early morning when you wake up, first thing you do is maintain awareness of your posture, everything. Then everything you do, aware. Then you need to wash up or clean yourself up, brush your teeth, answer nature's call. You can do that first, but mindful, aware. Then after that, first thing you do is you can go to your altar, pay your respect, then sit, meditate. Yeah. Then do all the bowing, the chanting, the recitation to develop the faith. Then relax and develop awareness-based meditation for maybe 20 minutes or in about 30 minutes or so. Then towards the end, you can share merit, transfer merit, and radiate metta. Then after that, maintain daily mindfulness on all activity, whether you dress up for work or you move around within your house while having breakfast or whatever. Then when you want to go to office, how you actually handle all your daily activity, you must be mindful. I remember that time I have a bag that I bring along to my office. Then I have my car key, everything. Then I was fully aware. When I was wearing my shoe, socks, whatever, then how I sit, how I arise, all the posture, all the activity movement, all my hand movement. Then how I open the house door, open the gate, lock it up, everything mindful, anyway. Then how I go to the car, how I on the alarm, not the alarm, you call what that one? The car, you got a remote control, a remote control. How you remotely on your car, or you use the old-fashioned key or not. Well, during that time, I think the remote control was not that, not a common thing at that time. Well, initially, it's just the key. Yeah? Then how I actually took the key out, very mindful, and how my hand go into the front door where my driver's seat is, how I turn, I fully aware. Then how I pull the key out, how my hand pull out the door. All mindful. Then how I put my bag, then how I move in to sit, fully aware. Then how I close my door, fully aware. Then how I check the rear mirror, everything. Then how I decide to go out. Then the auto gate, how we on it. You have to be mindful of all the movement activity. Then you reverse. Yeah. Then all your hand movement activity, blinking of your eye, looking forward, aware. Whatever activity you do, aware, mindful. Then as you travel, also mindful. Now that was very good training. Then how I reached the office, how I came down from the car, fully aware. Yeah. I was lucky because all my job that time, I got my own car park, allocated car park. Then later on, when I was more senior, I got a cover car park. Yeah. Then I got a room. Most of the time, I have a room. Initially, of course, as a French engineer, I got a room but share with colleague, two to a room. Then later on, I have my own room. Then I can do a lot of private meditative training exercises that I need to do when I am alone, especially during lunch break or early morning when I arrive at office. I will make sure I develop the sitting first on my executive chair. I remember that I got a Kuan Yin poster, which I post in front of my the office where I sit. I hang one in front. Then from there I pay my respect. Then I silence my mind and I meditate. Then usually I go to office quite early. Yeah, our office start at 8:30 at that time. I was in the office normally around 7:30, around that time. Then I have actually almost 1 hour to meditate. Then my secretary, they are very good. They know what I need. So they will prepare the drinks that I need and all things. Then they will make sure 8:30 exactly they all know I will open my door. Then they will bring the thing in, the file, everything. That's how after that I become like very organized. Then very mindful. Then my phone ring, I fully aware on. Then when I decide to go and attend to it, all my activity and hand movement, very mindful. How I hold the phone, then how I actually bring it to my ear, then how I communicate everything, fully aware, mindful. And that time the training was very good. Then throughout the day, my activity was awareness, mindfulness. That's why that time I hardly have any thought. And most of the time I can meditate very easily. So that daily mindfulness and religious routine is very important. And during that 3 years, especially 86 onward, then 87, 88. 86, 87, 88. Well, beginning of 89, I connect. Then I develop the understanding. So that 3 years, I remember, I was cultivating non-stop, continuous awareness, continuous mindfulness. That's why the progress was there. Then I read a lot of Dhamma book at that time. Of course, I also listened to some very good Dhamma sharing by my teacher, my guide, even Master Xuan Hua and all things. Then when I drive, I travel. I also put the cassette onto my car. And my family, they know every time I go back for festival, New Year or what, long distance drive to Alaska. The whole journey, either Chinese New Year time, sometimes I play Chinese New Year song. But most of the time it's Dhamma talk, the recording that I have. And recorded, and I like to listen again and again. So that's how my routine was, and it stabilized my mindfulness and understanding of the Dhamma. So you try that, then your sati will come back. When your sati come back, even at home, you can do it on. Then your mindfulness will become more and more stable, more and more sensitive, more and more refined. Then you will be able to get back that ability to be aware of your whatever vibration within your body. Not only your finger and your limbs, but later on, every part within your body, especially your heart area, become very sensitive. So all this, they will start to manifest and unfold. Then you will have the faith develop, then you will progress very fast and do very well. Okay, Chan?
Okay, thank you, Brother Tia. Okay.
Do you have any other question?
No more question.
No more question, okay. So your main question is you want to know how you can develop it back.
Yes.
That one is follow the daily mindfulness religious routine. Religious routine is the religious activity that you do every day. That's why I call it the daily religious routine. So the key word is religious routine, but daily, every day you do one. So Last I remember, before I sleep also, I meditate on. Yeah. But I normally wait till my wife and my children all sleep ready. And middle of the night, I will come out and sit on my own. I usually sit at about midnight. Then sometimes it's 12 something or even 1 a.m. And normally I do it for about 45 minutes to an hour. Then after that, I very mindful. I go back to my bed. Then I can sleep very well. And most of the time I was aware. I hardly sleep at that time. And I know how to rest. Because I detected the gateway later on. Then to me, resting was very easy. Every time I rest is to meditate. That's why when I was in the bed, I fully aware and I developed a lot of meditation at that time. So this religious routine is very good. And throughout the day, whatever I do, I was aware. Until after that end of 1989, then I just let things be. Because that time, I don't have class, nothing. I got nobody to come and disturb me. And I just live my life. So until 2004 when Yun Chan come, which was 15 years later. But during that 15 years, actually I did a lot of awareness-based meditation. And my nature inside transformed very fast. That's why a lot of things that happened during those times, very few people can understand. And there was no way I can share and explain all these things. Well, I was ahead of time. At that time, hardly people even cultivated all the way, even monks or what. Most of them, they cannot understand the true teaching, the true training, the Dhamma and all those things. That's why I just let things be. Then when everything settled down, then when the causes and conditions arise, then only I started to come out, decide to come out to do the sharing. That was in the year 2004. I remember it was almost end of 2004, where the great tsunami happened at that time. Great tsunami happened in December 2004, I remember. But Yun Chan requested me to share was earlier, before the tsunami. Then that time we were sharing basically general Dhamma. Then later on, I think after the tsunami, Yun Chan one day came and talked to me, Mr. Patil, they would like you to share on the teaching, more towards the Dhamma. I said, can. Then we were at the Vipassana Center, I remember. I saw the poster, the five ascetics with the Buddha. I said, we start with that, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. That's why from general topic on Buddhism, means how you relate Buddhism to life, to general topic, and discuss it so that people develop the interest and understanding of the teaching. Then we move into the teaching. Well, most of them are more interested in Vipassana and the enlightenment aspect. Of course, the practice and all those things. So that's how it started. And when it started, it was also another beautiful journey because at that time I thought living beings or cultivator, they need the Dhamma. So I was sharing the Dhamma. But at that time when I shared the Dhamma, the three turning, the four noble truths, hardly anybody understand. Then the five aggregate or form in mind. Hardly anybody understand. Then I realized I had to reverse back my teaching to understanding the essential Dhamma. That's why I had to start all with the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculties, the three evil roots, Dhammapada verse 21 day, 2, 23, verse 183, the advice of the Buddha, and all the other essential Dhamma. And from there, the teaching continued to evolve until later on when more and more people can understand, then only I come back to the actual teaching. And that's how later on all the more elaborate teaching comes about. Then they find it very useful, very interesting. They ask me to compile the book, and they volunteer to do the transcript and all things. That's how it all started. Then initially, it was only tape recording. Then later on, I think Sui An came in. From 2004 until 2008, Sui An came in. Sui An came in, he helped a lot. He actually bought us the recorder or the thing. That one was very good. Instead of using tape, we can convert it into this, what we call MP3. And the one memory one, the one you plug in to listen. USB. So that time, I think a lot of people developed the interest. Then he got a small radio where he can put about a few hundred talk into it. That time, Alicia was chasing Sui An for that thing to listen. Because cassette was very cumbersome. Then this one, we can email out and WhatsApp out. No? Initially, WhatsApp, you cannot send to big group one. No? You can only send to about maybe 15 or 20. Then later on, they increase it. And now, the number has become very big. So that's how everything evolve. Then later on the website, 2008 until 2015. The website came out in 2017, I think. 2015, 2016, the Bodhisattva Way. Earlier on was the Heart Sutta. So all this actually follow up. So within that first 4 years, then from 2008 to 2016, 4 plus 6 years, 8 years, sorry, 12 years. Then the next year, 2017, our website came out. So when the website came out, that time, Sui also came back, I think, then joined me on spiritual trip. Then later on, she decided to retire. That's how 2020 onwards, until now about 4 or 5 years, a lot of what they call Dhamma sharing came out with the short video, everything, Jinhao. Then a lot of new books also came out, because when the Dhamma wants to arise, it has its causes and conditions, then it will just happen and manifest. That's why now our website is very complete. When you're free, you should go in and actually listen to all those YouTube video and those recorded session. And whatever topic you have interest, you want to learn more, the books are there. Especially the Heart Sutta book and all the other very useful book. You can find a lot of very rich Dhamma understanding and material there. And this is how you can develop the progress. Constantly listening to the true Dhamma. Then reflect, contemplate, then meditate. Develop the three turnings, wisdom. Then from there, make your whatever vows, the Bodhisattva vows, and develop the daily religious routine. and you will progress very fast. Okay, so that's about what you need to do and understand.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, Alicia want to share. Okay, Alicia, come in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yes.
Teo and Okayamita. Brother Teo, just to give a bit of faith to Brother Chan, I want to share with the bowing the experience.
Ah, very good. Sadhu. Yeah.
我还记得 Brother Teo 讲 10,000 bow 的时候
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
然后我的 thought 就说 Hi, oh my god, 10,000 怎么样去 finish 那个 10,000 bow So after few months later 我才 start 做 但是 起初做 just like Brother Teo 讲 有点困难 因为你不习惯 一直对但是 当你越包越，就是说你不用算，其实来不来就讲，你其实不用算。当你的 fit 来的时候，哈，他心里面的心酸会 like you know the awareness 会算算算，然后我就感觉身体越来越轻嘛，越来越轻，
and you feel very light, and very graceful. Your bowing become very graceful.
就他就哎。 很容易就 finish 100 然后我就从早上 100 下午 100 晚上 100
哇,Sadhu 那么就很快哦
一个月就完很快就包完了但是这不代表说你一定要包就是十万一万个就还是几个其实当你有那个 understanding 之后你包的时候它真的让你感觉到你可以 feel 到你 每一个身体的部分都是很投入的
All the activity
yes,
All the movement inside yeah.
你很投入的 而且你知道 All the movement 然后你就 原来就是这样啊 那个是,
That is what sati is
yes,
Then 所以, the mind becomes very different Then after that you realize You hardly have any thought on. Most of the time 你很, Your body and mind feel like in harmony And very light with a lot of clarity. 没有好像以前啊，想东想西, worry this, worry that, then 很紧张, like you feel very stressed on that. A lot of things to do, like unfinished business. All that one gone, totally gone. And you feel very good, very light, and your faith is very strong. And throughout the day, the spiritual faculty is with you. The sati, the virya, then the faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Then there's a lot of joy listening to the Dhamma, meditating, training yourself, developing the understanding, the mindfulness, the stability of it. So all this activity, like incorporated into your life. Very good. Sadhu, Alicia, now you can help to give faith to this new cultivator. Like Chan Wai Fan Deo. Yeah. Continue. Yeah.
Brother Teo, actually, 以前我都不明白为什么 Brother Teo 每次叫我们, oh, continue 你的 daily religious.
Yeah,
actually, 我记得那天卫社节我也有问 Brother Teo 的 advice. Brother Teo 也是给我同样一个 advice.
Yeah.
在这里我要 bring up 的是, 意思是说, 无论你走到哪一个, 所谓的 stage 你还是要做回那个基本的 的东西因为我的 understanding 是因为众生的心是难调难服的是不容易的去怎么样说从这里一个所谓的你的 normal 的 lifestyle 去换去另一边
yeah.
就是说从
so easy. Yeah.
从此岸到彼岸的
yeah.
的过程你就是要做 基本的就是要就是从发心要到恒心的一直在做。所以我就是想接着这个机会跟大家分享我的 understanding of
Sadhu
的重要性。对，很好，Sadhu。
So all this can help. Hope the new people. Can listen to this and develop the sada, the faith, then try it out. try it out and you will make the progress. Your daily religious routine is very important. It's to anchor your spiritual faculty and your sati, your mindfulness. Yeah. And when you can do it well throughout the day, you become very different. Yeah. Like Alicia went through, I recall now after what he said, your mind is full of the understanding and the faith, then you feel very light. Then you feel your mind and your body like in harmony, completely in harmony, synchronized. Then your mindfulness, awareness, the heedless thinking all gone. Then your, what they call, the old way of thinking, the habitual heedless thinking and worrying, the planning, the internal chattering, the verbalization, the commentary, become like so much less, no? Then you like slowly, slowly become more and more aware that all these are the heedless living type of activity that normal deluded human being do. Whereas a cultivator, they are towards the awareness base, and they are most of the time heedful, mindful, hardly lost in thought, and their mind is completely transformed, different. That's why you will see clearly the danger of heedless living and the transformed way of heedful living. Then, like Dhammapada verse 22, he said, clearly distinguishing between the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise will intend on heedfulness. Yeah. And when they intend on heedfulness, they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. And that one very true. Your mind state is like an Arya, means a noble one. You are most of the time heedful, mindful, and you will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya. Means these Aryas, the enlightened being, the noble ones, they live their life in a very different way. They are always heedful, mindful, aware, and they have a lot of understanding. They have the noble quality of the noble eightfold path. And all this will like arise. Then the cultivator will develop the understanding and the joy, because the Dhamma is such, it is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And when they realize, all the one that go through the cultivation, they realize the same teaching, the same understanding, except different depth. If you have strong past, you have cultivated well before, then when you come, you progress, you transform very fast. You develop the understanding based on your past cultivation and your past training, and everyone is different. Yeah. Then when it happens, the joy is there, the understanding is there. Then it will accumulate into what they call perfection, parameters, that the cultivator on their own will develop the understanding. Very good, Alicia, Sadhu.
Yeah, Radio. Meditation 以前对我来讲，以为是在那边做 sitting 啊。
对对。
其实不然，因为当我明白了之后，现在就我的，以我自己现在的 understanding 啊，我这个sitting 只是 part of it。
对。
Understanding like 那个 part 是更重要。
Yeah, the daily one.
Yeah. 对 ，understanding life is really like to me 现在
最重要的，
对，是
最奥妙，
真的很奥妙，它 transform 到我自己都有一点点吃惊了。
对对对对，it will surprise you that the understanding can be so profound, and so beautiful,
所以我 我最近这几天我一直就是很感恩的在怎么样思维说，那个佛法这么的好，这么的奥妙，
对对。
为什么就众生有些众生就是没有缘分的去
对
吃，
对对，没有缘分，That is a correct word。
我们的工作该
嗯，
如何的有因缘法的去
对，
传播给他们，就是说
杀掉，
把他们分享给他们，这
对
样，
对对对，
所以我觉得，哎，真的是太好太好，这个我甚至于觉得，
对，对，Yes。
它不单只是说你个人里面的 transformation，而且你周边的人跟你相处也很不一
呀，
样，
不一样，and 他们
对，
感觉得到的，they
对，对。
know you have transformed and you are different, and they have faith in you, and they like to seek your advice, and they feel confident and happy when they are with you, because they know you are sincere, and you have the ability to understand many things and help people, 真的不一样，
那不就他好像里面有一个 understanding 哦，
嗯，
你不会很容易的说去怎么样说，就好像说你看到一个事情这样子，你看到他的好像你好像看到他的实相这样，你而不会
嗯，
说在表面上的去思维说啊这个为什么会这样，这个会不会。
啊，不会了，啊，你的 mind different 了，
It's like 你里面有一个，哎呦，我叫他那个 click 啊，like 他会停在那边
对。That
而
is the wisdom part, yoniso manasikara, 它 spontaneously 会现出来的，
他真的是很，我真的是很感恩，bro，就
You will have a lot of gratitude,
yeah，真的，
and
因
a lot
为
of fasting, a lot of joy,
对，就好像我觉得每一天在生活里面哦，看到很多人都在那个小小的烦恼里面在
对。
哦，
对，轮回里面转动，
所
玩
以
那个痛苦的游戏，不停的在那边转动，
对，所
That's
以
why that is the reality of life and existence, and you can see the noble truth of dukkha everywhere manifesting. But that is the way things are, because living being is just the way they are. That's why 一切唯心造。Mind make adi. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. And 那个就是因缘法，那个就是因果，轮回，带动生死轮回。So all this, they will continue to flow, to evolve, to move. Only cultivator of the way that has the sati, mindfulness, wisdom and understanding can comprehend. Then when they understand and comprehend, they knew the beauty, the wonders of this teaching. But then, like Alicia came to know, how come living being cannot see, cannot develop the affinity with it, the triple gem or the Dhamma, so that they too can actually have the understanding and have the good life. Because when you really have the Dhamma with you, your life become very different, totally different, and you become like full of understanding, joy, and you appreciate life. Then you have a lot of gratitude towards the great beings, all those great Dhamma teachers or guide who has actually helped you, all their blessing, protection and guidance, all this world, all this they will arise within the cultivator of the way. That's why that gratitude, that compassion, that love, it become very strong. And like Alicia come to know it, he just try their very best to share this understanding with more and more living beings that has the affinity. And by doing so, you are actually moving in another phase to fulfill your bodhisattva vows, to take all beings across, and to actually let this teaching manifest and become a living reality within not only the human realm, within existence itself. And through our vows, through our cultivation and perfection, our aditan, our pure wish and all those things, we can cause all this to become a living reality. And this is the beauty of Buddha Dhamma. Very good, Alicia, Sadhu.
Brother, 这个就是 gradually 我们走这个菩萨道 真的是太不可思议了 对我而言 就是那个 Cameron Retreat 那个文殊菩萨 开示的那个一根 那个一根那个 我现在回想起了哇 它真的非常powerful gradually
Yeah 真的powerful
因为 从那个一根，我们就可以修我们的32相。
对，沙度，那个菩提萨埵的那个成佛之道。其实，成佛之道，我在大智度论里面读到，我真的是要很感动的，要。Because the 32 hallmark of the Sammasambuddha can manifest from there. 沙丘, very good.
Rejoice.
Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall share merits. Then we will end. Akasata cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumodito. Cirang rakan tu loka sasana etta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Devo wasatu kalena sasa sampati hito cha Vito bawatu loko cha Raja bawatu damiko Imina punyang kamina Mami bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva and other worthy ones.